This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise.
Good to have your company on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. This is episode 22 of series 5. It's for Drinkwise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink wise. Craig Hutchison and Damien Barrett with you, unusually in the same building, in the same studio here in Docklands or South Bank.
We are for the moment, albeit a long way from each other on the desk. Hello, Damo. Nice to speak to you. Spare a thought, can you? Imagine this. You're leader of a sports competition. Your season's shut down. You're in the middle of a global pandemic. You've had to go to the bank and borrow $600 million against a stadium.
So you're Gillon McLachlan.
You've lost 80% of your workforce for a period of time. Your clubs are wounded. You've got to try and find a way to get the season back on. You've got to lobby every state premier. Everyone's got a different set of rules. You've got to get exemptions. You've got to get legal lawyers. You've got to get the Players Association to play ball. You've got to,
and you're only paying them half the freight.
You've got to overcome the unthinkable, and then your season gets underway, and the place where you need the most games is worst afflicted.
Yep.
You're playing, you're changing the game, the roster every week. You're moving games around. You recut your broadcast deal. You've had to get empty stadiums, all sorts of exemptions, and you finally got the thing going. And then your most established senior coach, who's won 4 premierships, who people quote from and listen to more than anyone else, says the game's no good.
Starts trashing the brand.
Imagine going home to your partner at the end of the day, if you're one of the AFL execs. How was your day today? Well, you wouldn't believe this. Well, one of our coaches has come out and ridden the game down today. Actually, I looked at the Herald Sun this morning, and understandably, because that's what people are talking about now, because Alistair has tapped into, you know, what's the sleeping giant among fans, which is the state of the game. Back six pages are the state of the game.
Oh, they're not, are they? Seriously?
No, that's fair enough. That's what's the public.
Well, I saw it on the front page as I left the house early this morning. It said, save, can you go to the front page of that, save our sport. Well, but it's about the state of the game, not the world problem.
So I just have, I don't want to sound like an AFL apologist here, but I'm prepared to if it means I get my point across. How bloody hard is it to get this season on? Everyone has done such an incredible job of getting the game on. 8 weeks ago, if you'd said to us, you can have people running around in bare feet and there'll be no umpires, we would have taken any version of the game we could have, Damo. Yeah. And yet our minds straight away shifts to, oh, there was 3 bad games out of 9 on the weekend.
I think there's an element, though, Hutchie, of trying to, at various stages and in various moments, just returning to normality. And normality was, at some stage of any AFL season, to bemoan the state of the game. Is that, I think the human nature is as such, and this whole we're all in this together, forget that, that's finished, we've gone through that phase, now we're back into being very individualistic and all, and as part of sports covering and sports watching, sports monitoring, sports playing, sports competing, you bemoan the lot you've got at some stage of every single season, and I look at it that way. That's where we're at right now. It's happened to be on the third week of resumption, but ultimately it's halfway through the calendar and halfway through a footy season.
So I looked at the weekend. I've watched or listened to more footy, I reckon, in the last 6 weeks than I have in years. Generally, rap that there's an entertainment product on air on the weekends that can accompany whatever else you're doing, be it work or otherwise. They haven't played, they haven't trained, they can't get any contact hours, they can't get any of the tactics.
Yep.
They're playing a little bit on instinct and or old game plan.
No, I disagree with that a little bit. We won't get too bogged down in this footy talk, Hutchie, because we don't do that on this show. But there is a risk-averse mentality that the coaches are taking into every game. I won't say every game, into a majority of games. And Clarkson, Alistair Clarkson, who's the coach you referred to, is probably the worst at it.
If he played with Mass Deer, so many other people would in the comp would go, oh, he's a smart one.
He's the single biggest contributor to the problem that he's referring to.
I just couldn't.
No, would you agree with that?
Well, he's one of. Look, you can't blame them to some degree. Like, Geelong got risk averse. They played Cavalier footy against Carlton. He's lost trust in the players to play that way. They're going back to kicking the ball around the boundary line against Melbourne and not letting them attack from a defensive
position. And nearly lost. Gave themselves 2 minutes of grief in nearly losing.
I thought it was strategy 101, that game.
Yep.
And if you can stop for a moment and enjoy the nuances of the tactics, it's not the, I actually watched that game and thought, what a strategic battle this is.
The Geelong Melbourne game.
Yeah, I had no problem.
I didn't. For what it's worth,
I had no problem with it.
I looked at it through the Alistair Clarkson lens.
And if you do have a problem with it, which most people did, just go and watch another game.
Watch a movie. What's your movie? Make your statement that way.
But we've just got to maintain perspective that we are so lucky to have a game on.
Yeah.
So too the NRL, by the way.
And the fragility of the entire situation is being brought home with every hour, isn't it? What were you referred to off the top there, Hutchie, with the restructuring of a round of matches 5 days out or 4 days out from its start point was again, never been seen before material. And tell me, we've looked at this initially as a national problem, and then it became a state problem. Here in Victoria, we are now looking at it as a council problem. Is the whole pandemic that we're dealing with, is it also a code war issue? I ask because for some reason and somehow, our man Peter Vallandis has convinced, despite all the odds, the Queensland government to allow a Melbourne team to go and hub in Queensland in terms of the Melbourne Storm. At precisely the same time, a statement went out yesterday which seemed to be very much directed specifically in three key criteria points at the AFL, right between the eyes, about you can't come here. Am I taking this too far in asking you the question? Well, all I'm doing is asking the question. Is it a code war as well as a state war?
No. That's a petty thing to say, Damo.
Or why has it happened, Hutchie?
Because he, in my view, read the tea leaves pretty well. And he has... He has read the tea leaves pretty well on the numbers and the transmission and where they're going as a skill, but they've had to become amateur
medicos
on the trends here. He could clearly see that he had to get Melbourne Storm out pretty quickly and a better place.
Well, he got him out last week, by the way.
Yeah,
they were scheduled to play in Melbourne on Friday night last week. He got him out. Just got him out.
No, if you listen to the head of footy, Melbourne Storm's head of footy, who did the rounds last week, he was speaking this language 3 or 4 days before we all were. He was like, we're leaving because we have to.
Frank Panisi?
Yeah, I heard him. I heard him on at least two of our different shows around the country last week where I thought, gee whiz, that's interesting.
And Dave Donaghy, the CEO, is across everything too, so he would have been reading it too.
And they would have always got to New South Wales if they couldn't get to Queensland, but Queensland's a better place for them. They've got the strategic relationship in the Sunshine Coast already with the I think the netball franchise, and they have a Queensland following in their team. I don't see any harm at all in getting the other Melbourne AFL teams out now. I don't know why you would wait. You can always come home if things settle. And
It's going to happen. I don't see them going to the same hub, though. I see them going to multiple hubs. But I can see it, and we're talking, we always like to declare it, on the Tuesday morning. Yep. By the time we finish it, it'll change again, Hutchie. Yeah. But the way I read it, there's going to be a point where there's not much footy and maybe no footy in Victoria. Well, for a period of time.
It looks like there's going to be I'm increasingly in business, you're starting to think of Australia as different countries, right? Because you're having to think, well, South Australia's strategy will be different to WA, to New South Wales, to Queensland.
Yeah.
Our business is a little fortunate. It is built that way anyway in terms of parochial content and people in those states. But while the different conversations per state, it looks like there's going to be, if this continues, which you would assume it will for a while, it's going to get a bit worse before it gets better in Victoria.
It seems that way.
A travel bubble set up between everyone other than Victoria, right? Now, WA's got the harshest set of rules, so I'm not sure why we would send any other clubs here. I can't imagine, if the rules change, whether you need to send any more in. Geelong are going to have very strong lockdown laws at the promenade in Perth.
Yep.
Collingwood are going to Joondalup.
Yep.
And they're going to be, there's, I think, a bid in to try and get the 9-hole golf course included in the quarantine area, but if that might be it. And it's going to be a very long and tedious process for those two clubs. So it would make sense to get the other Melbourne teams out, I think, now. Like, you can always come home in 4, 5, or 6 weeks, but you wouldn't want to get caught here or be trying to get exemptions late. And so places like Canberra, Tasmania, you can always fly over Victoria.
There's an issue just on logistics until late July for Tassie. It'll be late July.
Oh, because of the site screen. Oh, my goodness.
No. It's a state government order on borders. I don't want to get too caught up in the minutiae of it, Hutchie. But North Melbourne and Hawthorne, I think, will play matches down there, but they can't do that until very, very late July, at the absolute earliest.
Canberra, Sydney, Queensland, maybe.
Northern Territory,
maybe even
a chance. Northern Territory is a chance.
Even Darwin.
Yep.
It feels like there'll be a team in Canberra, doesn't it? Like, it's a safe place to put a team. And it's not the end of the world that day. Like, so I looked at the way Gil handled it yesterday.
It's not the start of it either, Hutchie.
Well, you're not afflicting fans' ability to go. You're actually only increasing the possibility they can, really. The problem you're creating is players being away from home.
Yeah.
But honestly, and I know it's easy for those who haven't got young kids to say this, and I don't mean to sound without empathy for those that do.
You're allowed to have an opinion on this, Hutchie. If you think they're being weak in not wanting to commit to it, say it. I don't think anyone's going to hold that against
you. No, I think
they've got to get up and just go.
I think they've got to go and play. And if you don't want to play, don't go.
Yeah, I'm with that too.
You look at Australian Test cricket teams who went overseas for months back in the day and played. Now, I'm sure
it's not what AFL players sign up for, though. I'll give them that as a part of this conversation.
But no one's asking them to go if they won't. And I think the laws about getting families in and out have already proven to be pretty fair and reasonable. So let's get the content out of Victoria for a while.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. It actually sends a bit of a social message anyway. I think it sends a message to the community. There's a problem here in Victoria that's a little greater than the rest of the country. It could happen anywhere. By the way, the other states, in my mind, are all acting like they're through the coronavirus, or certainly, I think, in some states of Australia.
WA gives that impression.
They're behaving like they're through. This could happen and will happen in lots of places and lots of along the journey, right? You can't fix this problem. We're not over it. And you could tell by the way the community was behaving here in Victoria that we were at risk. Those other communities in other parts of the country are still behaving that way too. So they're not far off having one of these things happen. Heaven forbid it doesn't happen.
Yeah. This is getting more social, Hutchie, than sport here. But when this started, when the first news came through that a country was shutting down its borders was incredible, wasn't it? For the lifestyle we'd come to become attuned to for dozens and dozens of years. And then you sort of settled on that. And then in this country, state borders were being shut. And that too was staggering. Really? We can't get, as Victorians, into Queensland. That you process that, don't you? You then bring it down further. We are on the verge here in Victoria of not being able to go into a certain council municipality. We had people having cancellations on accommodation they'd booked because they were from a certain council region. I mean, that is just, sometimes you've got to stop and think about where this has taken us, and you then have to think, how do we get out of it and what happens from here on so many levels? And this whole we're in this together thing, Hutchie, can we just stop it, please? If I hear an ad along those lines again, and if your station runs one more of those ads, that's it. Stop it. In fact, put a ban on that stuff, okay?
Well, it's good to hear that you're a regular listener. That's a good concession. That's the first time you've conceded that. I'm glad that you're overhearing our ads. That's a great giveaway.
We're not in this together, Hutchie. Can we just get our heads around that?
Let me write that down. Damo complaining that we play the same ads too often would suggest he listens quite regularly.
Hutchie, the editorial content of your show just gets in the way of the ads.
Look at that.
If you want to go down that path.
Another repeat listener.
Try and put some product around the ads.
Yeah. Well, no, you've got a few of your shows off this week, so that's fair enough. Although, albeit that particular topic, I retired in the Phil Jackson Cup.
You put the James Brayshaw into the tin cup.
So I can't and won't speak about his holiday this week after being back for 6 weeks because I retired that issue in the
so
coffee
Jane
cup.
Will cut that bit out of this show after
this.
In
the coffee cup. Look, it's hard. Look, I know in the community right now there'll be a lot of people feel a little trapped. We feel trapped in our state. We feel trapped in our city. We might feel trapped in our town. We feel trapped in our, you know, some people feel trapped in their employment because there's not a lot of other options.
And the ability to wade your way through whatever lies ahead. Yep. Everyone's trapped. And some really, really badly.
But if you want to actually take the positive lens on it, which is what I would prefer to do.
And now this is going to be good. Which part of this is positive? You don't have to always look at blue sky, Hutchie.
We are among the least afflicted countries in the world.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point, and that's a big tick.
And we don't and can't have any perspective on that because we're living our own worst world right now, and it is bloody hard. People losing their jobs, it's gut-wrenching out there for some people. There is a pathway through this for Australia that's better than some and many parts of the world. You know, we've gone through, 500,000 deaths, 10 million cases, 9,000 cases in Florida on Friday. They were those scenes of them banging back at the beach in April, you and I were scorning out here on the sounding board 2 months ago, and then they've come back to bite them. The Australian public has done an incredible job of doing, by and large, for the most part, the right thing. We've had some issues and had some problems. Tell me whenever there's no manual or rule book on this. Every person, be it a politician, a business leader, a community leader,
a mum and a dad,
families, grandparents, no one's borrowing from a manual on how to behave, how to get through, what to do, how to feel. It's bloody hard.
Yeah.
So we just got to find a way. And the Australian spirit is renowned for finding a way. And if you said to me 3 months ago, you know, many of your WA and South Australia are going to be back. There's going to be 25,000 at the footy in West Australia and all. There's going to be fans back in some venues. There's going to be one case in South Australia, in WA, and none in South Australia. Like, we would have grabbed that with both hands.
You'd take that, yeah. And you'd probably even take, at one stage, there's only 75 in one day in Victoria, which was a lot when it was released at this time yesterday, or thereabouts this time yesterday, but at the same time compared with around the world.
Anyway, and we're worried about
waited too much for this.
The winter's been the thing that I've always been most worried about. We're 1 month through, two to go, right? Now, we're not there's no panacea or cure on the back of it, but gee, it'd be great to get this winter behind us.
Yeah. Let's move on, Hutchie. And we like to explore the language that's being used around town, don't
do we?
Yeah, we do. We do on this show.
I don't know how you set me up for something that I don't know what's coming, as if it's a collective view that we've sat down and discussed.
Well, what we like to do is let our listeners in on how certain things play out, not necessarily the outcome of the specific issue, but the narrative and the work and the management and negotiation around them. And I want to just refer to a couple of phrases which are again in play this week, and they've become part of almost the norm. It's in relation to Heretia Lumumba's situation with Collingwood. And for those who don't follow the AFL closely, former Collingwood player, then went to Melbourne, very, very good player, has got a lot of issues with his treatment by Collingwood, the first of the two AFL clubs he played at. Now, I don't want to get into, on a race basis, I don't want to get into that part of his story, Hutchie, but what I do want to talk about is the use of the language around it and the use of the word truth around the explanations publicly of what happened. And Nathan Buckley, who's as good a speaker and I think as good a person in the game, has now, on a few occasions, spoken publicly about the accusations, allegations of issues that Heretia Lumumba now wants to play at, and it will be investigated by the football club itself. But Latham Buckley refers to, this is my truth. He gave a scenario where what he said happened, and he said, that is my truth. And then he referred to Heretia Lumumba's truth. And then Heretia Lumumba spoke on another platform and he said, my truth is this. So where is the truth? We've always known there's two versions of the truth as a starting point. But in terms of playing a story out publicly, and I'm just using the Heretia Lumumba example as a way into this. That is my truth and that is his truth. It's almost as if it's a presentation to the public that we are never, ever going to get to the bottom of this, even at the very outset of it.
So you are a cynic on the investigation?
No. I don't want to talk about this from the specifics of what Lumumba has been raising. I think that's a serious enough issue for it to be played out in an investigation, a proper investigation, and one that's now independent.
That's the right move?
I do.
Yep.
Yeah, I do.
Is it independent?
It is now. It wasn't initially, but there is now going to be an independent tone to it. It was initially released.
It's chaired by one of the board, though.
Is anything independent, by the way? I mean, is that one part of the truth, too? Collingwood's truth is that it will be independent. Heretia's will be that it probably isn't. And this is to my point. They'll be able to present something. And again, it'd be easy to talk about it if it wasn't maybe a race issue. But I'm raising it today because of the use of the word truth. My truth, his truth, that truth, their truth. There's not going to be any, inverted commas, truth to come out of it, is it? There's going to be versions of events. And this is the same in a parliamentary inquiry. But it's the way that it's being presented to the public, my truth.
I admire that they're trying to deal with it, Collingwood, because they need to, and it's the right and noble thing to do. I wonder why an investigation was the way to deal with it. Like, I'm not sure that even that any scenario in that can appease anybody. So look at the upside of that. Like, what if it's... If they investigate and say it's not true, there'll be an uproar. Mm. And they investigate and say it's mostly true, well, then ultimately Heretia is offended.
Yeah, but by a word that he was described as a nickname and other actions at that.
And
you and I chased these stories specifically at the time. Remember the few times, Hutchie, on the footy show? We tried to get to the bottom of some of these stories at the time.
I think you chased this exact story about 10 years ago, didn't you?
A few angles on this story, yeah. And again, that's
you also
what I
chased the Paul Seedsman story at the time, from memory, too.
That one, yeah, which is part of this story, too. Yes, we did. And we actually went with that story one night. Yep.
So if you are, and particularly in an area as sensitive and important as this, isn't the fence in the eye of the beholder?
Yep.
So it doesn't matter whether what I say was meant to be offensive to you. If you're offended by it, then it's offensive.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it's indisputable that he is offended by language directed at him deemed to be of a racist nature.
It's got down to a he said, she said situation now, hasn't it? He said situation. Because one party is denying knowledge of the word.
Well, I think the issue is that, you know, I take Nathan on face value that he never heard it.
I do too.
Eddie on face value that he never heard it. Yep. But you'd have to say someone somewhere said it, right?
I think that's beyond dispute.
Beyond dispute.
Well, it's absolutely beyond dispute.
Because Heredia didn't make it up. And
he's been verified now on a number of occasions.
And he's had five or six teammates defend him. So
what would you have done then? Okay, let's move it away from the truth word, which I was sort of entering this conversation on. What would you have done with a big business in that situation?
Unconditionally apologised.
Right.
I would have just said, look, it is clear that someone within our ranks, and it's unknown who or how many, intended or otherwise, said things that were of a nature that were offensive, cruel and hurtful in the circumstances. We've come a long way as a society. It doesn't defend behaviour 10 years ago in any means, but we want to issue a public and unconditional apology to Heredia for anyone and everyone in our organisation, close to it, nearby, next door to it or otherwise, who offended him.
Yep.
And we welcome him back with open arms. We're going to put these steps in place to ensure that it never happens again, unintended or otherwise. And there's no excuse or tolerance for any type of racial tone or language in our business, casual or otherwise. I don't know what an investigation... What do you need an investigation? An investigation, to me, only says it may or may not be true until we find out. Like, just accept that it's true.
Mm.
You just said yourself, I don't think anyone doubts that someone somewhere said it.
I have no doubt.
You don't invent hurt.
But what it's come down to, and now we are getting into specifics of it, is the public positioning of a couple of individuals in terms of the president in Eddie Maguire and Nathan Buckley saying they didn't hear it and not moving from that. I don't have any drama with those two men maintaining positions they've held over the journey. But that's what it comes down to in Heredia's eyes.
So I just don't know why everyone can't accept each other on face value here. Like Eddie and Nathan, I just accept them on their word on that because they are the type of people that would wear something on the chin otherwise and have many times over the journey. If they had heard it, I'm sure they would have said, look, you know, we walked past this and we shouldn't have and we're sorry. I know that they would do that. But someone somewhere offended him. And that should be enough.
Hmm.
Just, we're sorry. We're really sorry. And it doesn't need an investigation to... I think the intent of the investigation is if it comes from a good-hearted approach. I assume Eddie's led it and he wants to actually get to the bottom of it and do the right thing. And it would have been his enthusiasm for progress.
I wouldn't necessarily assume that, Hutchie. I don't know that, by the way. I'm not saying anything that's loaded there. I wouldn't necessarily assume Eddie's led it.
I think it's a noble thing from their board that they're trying to do, but I don't think they've actually stopped.
But you're quite right. In terms of an outcome, a full apology, an unconditional apology would have had a more powerful effect and impact, wouldn't it, from the very outset without needing this to play out over 3 and 4 months and in a very public way.
Anytime anyone is offended, it is offensive. It is in the eye of the beholder. And clearly, Heredia was offended and language used to him was unacceptable. And it's even more clear over time as to how damning that is.
Mm.
And what an opportunity to have a mature conversation about it. We're not going to get better, all of us, unless we actually just call it out and try and move forward with better intent and language.
And the two truths, once this investigation is concluded, will still be the two truths.
Well, but I don't think who heard it and who didn't.
No, but we're using the word truth, Hutchie, in terms of the public playing this out.
Nathan said that his truth was only related to him. He can't speak for the person next to him.
But this is the point I raised, and we probably got too detailed on what the topic we're talking about. But the use of the word truth was the reason I flagged that. But you've actually come up with a really interesting outcome for that particular footy club. Hutchie, a couple of social media offerings this week. Our listeners are...
I'm only just hanging on social, Damo. I'm just about gone.
No, I was gone a long time ago.
Everyone's angry. I'm only hanging on for Mark Stevens' bulldog stories on Twitter.
A couple of the favourite topics we've got here on the sounding board shortly to come. There's a burner alert and also some taking out the trash, and that will be for Red Energy. Our home studios are powered by Red Energy, 100% Australian electricity and gas.
The Sounding Board podcast is thanks to Drinkwise. Have you got kids at home? If you're having a drink, be a positive role model and drink wise in front of your kids. Thanks also to Red Energy, powering Hutchie and Damo's home studios and offices. Red Energy is powered by the mighty Snowy Hydro and they're a leader in renewable energy. Red is 100% Australian owned and local. Phone 131 806 today.
We've got a burner account update, and we've also got a taking out the trash. And Jason Cornell alerted us on the Sounding Board.
I think Jason's app. Is he the head of the Alice Springs Racing Club? Is he from memory?
Is he? There you go.
I reckon.
Well, he alerted us to this on Friday night, Archie, at 7:30, which is always a prime hitting zone.
In the middle of both AFL and NRL games.
In the middle of two major sport games in Australia on a Friday night at 7:30 at the start of winter. That the Rugby Australia has tonight concluded its adjourned annual general meeting and has released its 2019 annual report. Now, none of us needed to click onto that link to know that that was going to be ugly reading, but at 7:30 p.m. at halftime.
On a Friday night. No, early into the second half.
Early into the second
half. Not halftime.
So Jason's done early, that really well.
The early game's at 6, I reckon. It's been taken out about 20 minutes to go in the last quarter of the NRL game, and just as the AFL is starting.
Clubhouse leader for 2020, you reckon?
It could be. Whoever set that out could be the media garbologist of the year.
It's a Melbourne Cup field this year.
Friday night, 7:30, and that's the sort of thing you'll sit there for weeks before someone goes and reads it.
So within footy season, is Friday night, 7:30, about prime hitting zone for taking out the trash? Within footy season?
The other thing I liked about this was the annual general meeting, which preceded it, had been adjourned from another time.
From another taking out the trash time.
To that time. They've actually set the AGM up to be taking out the trash worthy on the end. Like, what is going to end this about 7:15, guys? Going to hit release about 7:30.
Is the social media algorithm so scientific these days, Hutchie? You can actually, in advance, the way they do it, configure a certain account to hit send on a certain story in, quote, take out trash time.
Yep. There's a lot of good people at Rugby Australia, and they've had a rough run.
Oh, here's your square up. You always have a square up.
They've had a rough run. So I'm barracking for them and I'm thinking,
Of course.
And that's a good start on the new era.
You like this, though?
Oh, I love it. Whoever did that, it's showing a little bit of nous.
Now, there's a person who I'd never heard of, I must admit, a Queensland LNP Senator, Hutchie, by the name of Amanda Stoker. Now, several people had alerted us to this particular potential, I'll say potential burner account, because there is a explanation of sorts.
You think everyone's got a burner account?
No, I don't. I just know that when people do and they get caught out, we have to highlight it, Hutchie, because it is disgraceful practice. So Amanda Stoker is her name, and then there was a discovered by the Courier Mail, by the way, in a pretty thorough investigation, the way I read it, that another account under the name of Mandy Jane was being used that looked suspiciously positive in its content about Amanda Stoker. And so Amanda Stoker's office was contacted for content around this, Hutchie, in context, and it was revealed that that account, that supposed burner account, we'll just say supposed, was only used when said person was using mobile phone to post on social media, not the desktop computer, which had the official login to the account. I think it's...
It lost me.
It looks like a burner to me, Hutchie. It looks like a burner to me.
So you feel the need to call it out because you've got this thing about...
Oh, as I told you, back in 2013... when it was put to me by a very, very senior person in football connected or who had connections with Essendon Footy Club that there were burner accounts galore. Hutchie, one of your favourite topics in a negative way, and I'm embarrassed to be part of a program where you continually malign the ABC. They've experienced a lot of financial cuts
You walking in here today, you're going to try and walk me into this.
You don't like the ABC. In fact, you could actually very much work for the Australian newspaper, who may be the only organisation made up of a bunch of individuals who loathe the ABC more than you do. So you'd be quite happy that there's been a significant cut this week.
Let me be really clear. I don't dislike the ABC at all, and I think that the role they play in Australian life is really important. I just feel that there
is... It's more than important. I think it's crucial. And I think the bushfire season proved that, Hutchie. It was the only station I was listening to if I wanted to get some proper information.
In fairness, every commercial radio station in Australia did the same job as the ABC.
Not as well as the ABC.
On the bushfire.
Nowhere near as well as the ABC.
That's a subjective view of the of the content.
That is a factual take on what happened. But let's move on. Let's get back to the job cuts and the
monetary cuts. But I don't have the same... I know most journalists are different than this, and I don't want to sound insensitive to other journalists because I don't want anyone to lose their role or job.
No, you don't.
I support the federal government's $50 million public interest news gathering program that was released, in 107 regional media operators, I think, were among the beneficiaries. So,
well, you support that, do you? You've analysed that program? And
yeah, because that is government money not going out into many and varied regional publishers, broadcasters, newspapers.
Yep.
To play the role that the ABC often plays. My only point on the ABC is it's never lived within its means, Damo. It hasn't. I drive past their building every morning on the way to work. It's like a spaceship down the bottom here on the end of Coventry Street. It is. It's like that's like going past Chadstone Shopping Centre. How you would need to build a non-advertiser-funded building that big to – like, if they want to talk about why people are losing jobs – don't spend as much on grand buildings and big lobbies.
It's a nice building. It's a very nice building. Yeah,
if you're not trying to impress an advertiser, what do you need a spaceship as a building for?
Because, Hutchie, the world doesn't always revolve around the advertising dollar. I know it does in your world, to you, and not many people do it better than you.
Make a case for me for Grandiose, for the ABC.
I can't.
Make a case.
I can't. I can't.
Be the CEO for a minute and say, this is why we need a building this incredibly impressive and state-of-the-art and...
I can't.
They're only making the same content that the rest of us are. And the rest of us...
No, they're doing it independently, Hutchie. And you must admit that. There is...
Independently?
I won't say it's always bias, but there's not as much bias in their coverage.
Not as much bias as normal media. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I'm not saying there's none, because of course there is, and we've had this discussion 1,000 times on this program. There's bias in every report.
I haven't got into the detail because I'd spend 4 hours on it if I did. from the look of it, they're cutting a significant amount of money.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate. 250 job, everyone who works there is very talented. Those 250 people who have unfortunately lost their roles, and I feel for, will find other roles in Australian media because they're all very talented. They've only ever hired talented people. There's a $40 million budget, but there's still an incredible ABC business that sits behind all this. And it just needs to swim between the flags like the rest of the commercial world for a while.
I don't find the need to every week watch Media Watch, but I did watch it last night. I was flicking around, Hutchie. You saw the tail end of Four Corners, stayed on for Media Watch. And I must admit, I'm actually with you a little bit on this story. The presentation of it was... Well, it was us. And I do feel sorry for them, Hutchie, from the outset. But a couple of references, Foreign Correspondent will lose 2 episodes a year but still be broadcast 22 times a year. That is an amazing show when you sit down to watch it. But they've still got the ability to broadcast on 22 programs a year. That is a lot of programming for a program that costs a lot of money.
An Australian Story down 4 times a year.
So and again, great stories. I love, if you are in a relaxed mood on a Monday night and you settle into an Australian Story, there's not much better TV than that. And there was one last night in a country town, Billowella, I think it was, Jane. It was a great, I didn't see all of it, but it was a great story. But again, there's still going to be, I don't think there's going to be 52 stories a year, but there's going to be lots of Australian stories. So I'm a little bit with you on some of these cuts.
Australian Story is magnificent.
It's great TV.
Q&A does a fantastic job. I'm a media...
Not always.
I'm a media...
Depends who they get on, Hutchie. In fact, I've stopped watching
Institute. Like, it's not that they're stopping making these. The rest of the world's behaving this way. We're all having to make sacrifices of things we'd rather be doing.
Yep.
In any sector, let alone media.
And there were references to, and this is unfortunate and sad for the individual companies involved, but the lack of ability to then outsource a lot of the editing and the production costs of certain programs, which may be a luxury in 2020.
Oh, my goodness. Have a look at what the rest of us are doing.
I know.
And the rest of the world. News Limited have had to close, 60 publications regionally?
There's a high number. It's an ugly
number. A lot of them have been converted to digital platforms and those sort of things.
Yep.
The job News Limited were doing in many of those towns with a local newspaper was far more pronounced than the ABC would have been doing in that exact same town. Far more. And News Limited, through no fault of their own, through the global pandemic, have had to make brutal cuts in towns where those services are even more needed than the syndicated nature of much of the ABC content.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, I have sympathy for them, but I don't, this, I read all these tweets on people were aghast at the cuts. It's the world we live in, and it's government money. Mm. And the, some of the government money that they're cutting, I'm assuming is going to our public health battle as well. It's not that the government haven't been tipping tens of billions of dollars into
there. There is still, in 2020 numbers, a lot of money going to the ABC. Hutchie, let's get to the sounding board regular of the question of the week.
On the sounding board, it's our question of the week for social status marketing. Social media marketing is more important than ever. Visit socialstatus.com.au, make sales or your money back.
Toby Mew asks...
Just before you ask that, how about the social status boys? What about this? They've been converting customers left, right and centre on the back of you, Damo, and now they're offering, get this, a 50% off deal to any sounding board listener on their service. So just follow the links in our Twitter feed to the social media boys who and girls who are incredible social media marketers, and they will look after your social media strategy and convert your business to sales. And if you mention, I can't say that because I've retired that joke. If you mention Damo, you'll get a 50% discount.
What was the joke you want to go with?
FOMO. I was going to do something about annual leave, but I retired that.
Oh,
weeks ago.
I mean, real funny.
Yep.
Right, Toby Mew on Facebook poses this week's question for social status. We often see controversial media personalities continue to get away with, frankly, extremely offensive statements. Some presenters, such as Alan Jones, Sam Newman, have a reputation for this and yet kept their seats for years. At face value, it seems that the media keeps them on for their ability to generate headlines under the guise of promoting diverse opinions. At what point does the media say enough and remove people from airtime for their remarks?
Your thoughts?
Well, I think to Toby's question, the two people he has specifically referenced there have found themselves off mainstream media. I think Toby's question may be almost obsolete. I think the media platforms that those two gentlemen had, and maybe others, in a traditional widespread media platform, have gone for those two people.
So let me extend upon that for a moment.
Except now that Alan Jones is back on Sky News.
Got his own show.
To Jane's point. So yeah. maybe to Toby's point.
When you heard last week the comments or the quotes from the You Cannot Be Serious podcast with Sam Newman, Don Scott and Mike Sheehan, what did you think and feel?
I just thought, why? My first question, why? Why? That was my first read. And I didn't listen to it. I was obviously made aware of it, Hutchie, as I think you were probably in the print form of the someone listening to it and writing about it. But it was just why would you say that?
What did you think of Mike Sheehan's role in the conversation?
Again, I'm going on what I read in a transcript sense, so I haven't heard it with my own ears. I don't think he did enough to probably stop it. Is that fair to say? What did you think of it?
I just thought it was very un-Mike-like. Like, Mike Sheehan's a legend of our industry. I just found it very un-Mike-like to be complicit in that conversation and not be a stronger voice in the room.
Complicit is probably the word that sums up best what happened in that situation. Again, I'm only going off the transcript, Hutchie. I didn't hear it. Did you actually hear it?
I read the transcript.
Yeah.
Yep. But the quotes are, it doesn't matter how you say it or what tone, they're unambiguous, the quotes.
Mm.
And you were a reporter at that time. Like, Mike made casual reference. Mike gave it the wild accusation, some weird validity by saying it had been discussed at the time or some suggestion at the time.
It certainly had been discussed, but it doesn't mean it's right, given Nicky Winmar's positioning on it from day one.
It's clearly wrong, and it's wildly insensitive.
And I did see Bruce Guthrie, subsequent to the reporting on it, who was editor of the paper at the time, remove all doubt, I would have thought, in terms of what it was.
100%. And, Wayne Ludby, who took the photo, was emphatic.
Yeah. Tell me.
And strong in his voice. Like, was it Nicky Winmar's house on Friday? It was on radio Friday night. He's very strong-willed on social media these days, Wayne. He's had 20 years at News Limited. He's left there and he's got a bit to say about his time.
He doesn't like a lot of things about News Limited either, Hutchie. Wayne?
No, he's got a little bit of the the Damo's about him, isn't he? Like a little bit of like the Empire Strikes Back. I think a little bit over the top at times, but on this particular case,
when you leave the cult without realizing you're in one, Hutchie, I think you can call out its hypocrisy.
I know you're only being cheeky. I think
no, I'm not.
He was right on this occasion to make such a. I applaud his strong and tough stance on this. And
tell me, just
and we've all been in part of conversations where we haven't been a strong enough and discerning enough.
Absolutely,
voice in the room.
And so I put my hand up there.
I've been one as well. So I don't sit in judgment of Mike. I just say it was very un-Mike-like.
Yeah. Just quickly, and let's not get too bogged down in this because neither of us have a legal mind or expertise. What legal grounds, though, are there for Wayne Ludby and Nicky Winmar to now go against Don Scott, Sam Newman, and Mike Sheehan? And then I asked innocently, I don't know what grounds. In terms of what would allow a court to say that there is a legal issue on this?
The fact that it's a lie, I guess, that besmirches a character and
right, it's a defamation type of angle. Yeah, I guess the character.
I don't
is what you're
sense it takes it. It goes the full journey. The legal action, but
I couldn't see it going anywhere. But I don't have a legal background.
Sends a pretty strong message, I think, which was
yep. And thanks to Toby there for that question. For social status, social media marketing is more important than ever. And if your business needs social media marketing, Social Status, as Hutchie just alerted you, is offering 50% off to any Sounding Board listener. Links to that are on our show notes. One more quick one, Hutchie, because you're so au fait with all these new advents in social media and the extraordinary critique you gave of the Twitch operation, which once we got you to fully explain it, we realised you hadn't even had the app on your phone and you certainly had no idea how to use it. But I move on because TikTok is the one that is all the rage at the moment. Will they kill it off with this TikTok for Business proposal that's about to be launched? And if you haven't caught up with it, Hutchie, TikTok being the one that seems to be all the rage for the kids and the cool kids. If a business component to TikTok kicks in, whereby obviously TikTok I would think would be swamped with advertising, which is your part of the world, do you have the potential to kill off the actual beauty of the product itself?
Well, of course. It's not without some risk, but what is of greater risk, I would assume, is not making any money. So like you can't begrudge them. They've built an incredibly cool product. It's got to stay cool and relevant with kids.
You're across TikTok, aren't you? You told us you once were.
I think what I find with kids is you just got to pretend you're across it as much as you can. You just got to use the word TikTok in as many sentences as you can and just hope that you're connecting.
Or you could be honest like me and say, yeah, I'm aware of it, but I've got no idea nor want to know any more about it.
Certainly young Nicholas at my house is very big on it. I always tell him I've got my own account that he hasn't seen it yet, and I give it a fake name, and he just rolls his eyes at me.
You're a burner TikTok.
Yeah.
You're a burner account TikTok.
He looks at me like you're not cool enough to be on TikTok.
No, you're not actually. Is that also an explanation to your explanation of Twitch? How's Twitch going, by the way? You thought it was going to take over the world.
I saw that they.
You couldn't have explained to me how to use it in 10 minutes.
They stood Donald Trump down in the last 24 hours, Twitch, from his account because of language that they deemed unacceptable to the platform.
Did they?
Which, you don't miss it. And Jeff Bezos, by the way, owns Twitch.
Oh, does he?
I'm watching the Bezos documentary on SBS, Damo. I'm two episodes in. I'm at the end of episode two.
Good.
About how he built the business and Amazon. I think I'd give it a call out. I think it's been an acquired taste. It's probably not for everyone, but it's my cup of tea. I might even do a review on it for you next week.
Is Dylan Howard chapter in that part of
his
it yet?
His byline just bobbed up late in episode two, but it was unspoken, so I don't know.
We might have some content next week. More Dylan Howard content for the Sounding Board next week.
Speaking of TV.
Because he didn't go into the tin.
Can I put a call out to the content audience of the Sounding Board? And I'm asking for some suggestions. In the scheme of the life, this is funny, and that means nothing, but just let me play this out for a moment anyway. I don't watch much television. When I do, I'm chips in. So I loved Succession, House of Cards until about episode series four when it fell right away.
Yep.
And I'm a massive Billions fan, don't
yep.
I?
Yep, I know you are.
Love Billions. Love the nuances, the story writing, the character acting. It's fantastic. And one of the life's great joys is getting home from Footy Classified on a Monday night. I try and if I can get through that watching it late Sunday night, I'm happy because I go Monday night, get home, switch off and watch Billions before I come in here on a Tuesday morning. I'm on the journey in series four, Damo. Week at a time episode. Get to episode seven. Good cliffhanger finish. You know there's five eps to come. I go there in recent days, not updated. Not updated. I Google what happened. They hadn't finished making the series before COVID hit. They've had to go into production stand down, and there's the last five eps.
You're hanging.
The last five eps. Not only do I not know what happened, they haven't even made them yet.
Oh, no.
The actual outcomes are not yet. They can be rewritten by the writers.
They may not ever be made, Hutchie. No one's going back into New York the way that show did.
And I've got huge empathy for not being able to finish making it. But
surely
there could have been a disclaimer somewhere on the bottom of the screen on the way through. Heads up. Hope you're enjoying this, but we might not. We didn't finish the series, so don't get too attached to any of the characters. And, you know, Ozark was going to have another series, but it's stuck in the blocks because of COVID. We've got mass issues here with content. Billions has run out of steam.
This is a series of problems you've come across in 3 months, I reckon.
So I don't know what to do because I'm not a passive watcher of telly. I'm a rare watcher, but I'm a chips in guy.
Yeah, you are. I'll give you that.
And now I can't emotionally detach from what was going to happen in the last five episodes. And I'm worried as time goes on, you know what happens?
You won't bother with it.
As time goes on, people who are bored,
yep,
writers, hey, I've got another idea. What about we put this swerveball in where, like,
whatever they change the story.
I accept that whatever they had
COVID-19 ending.
Whatever they had written was perfect, and they're only going to mess it up from here. The more time they got on their hands, the more they'll rewrite these things.
If I'm to be cynical about this, Archie, I reckon that show was really, really good for two series. It's a one-trick pony. Two blokes don't like each other. How many times can we produce storylines whereby they don't like each other? I think it was done anyway, Hutchie, and I think you're actually going to find it's a benefit that there's no more programs.
Well, you make half a point, but there's...
That's all it is. One bloke doesn't like his bloke, he doesn't like him. They hate each other, and let's have five series of individual storylines about... I hate him even more this week because of this.
No, they liked each other in series three, but drumroll please, they now don't like each other again.
Really? All right.
So if you've got a suggestion for me, I have another Chips In series out there, like Billions, Succession, Ozark.
How invested do you want to be? You haven't done Breaking Bad, have you?
No, I haven't.
It's a big investment, but it's worth every single second you'll put into it if you do it.
You think it's that good?
Yeah. You've got to wade through some quietish moments, but they, in the context of the broader and bigger picture, actually come back and are important moments.
It just feels like a big decision to go into.
It's a big decision. No, it's a daunting decision, particularly with you too.
There's no U-turn once you're in, I think.
No, I think it's at least five series, and I think they're the hour sort of length series. And it might even be seven series, but it's at least five.
See, 12
it's worth it.
12 eps once a year by 43 minutes. It's got my name written all over it.
And we're talking
50
complete.
50 by 1 hour?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
We're talking complete rubbish. Now, that Morning Wars, I finally got through that. No good. Didn't like it.
You didn't like
Didn't like it. Maybe we'll park that for next week. I didn't like Morning Wars. It was overrated, self-indulgent.
How could you not have liked Morning
rubbish.
Wars?
And that was The Sounding Board, episode 22, series 5, for DrinkWise. Stay safe, and if you're choosing to drink, be sure to drink DrinkWise.
I bet you would have liked it if it was on the ABC.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo for DrinkWise. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.